All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're starting a brand new series this morning. So we're going to go out with the old, in with the new. Let's see how many times I messed that up throughout the course of this series. So out is right? Old. Yeah, out with the old. So out, yeah, old, in with the new. Okay, left. So I got to remember that. Saying it in my head right now so I can try to remember. So, out with the old, in with the new. And we're going to be jumping off from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 here. And I want you to see what it says in verse number 17. Paul shares this with us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, that word if is not a question. So he's not wondering if you are or if you aren't. The idea behind the word is since. So he's saying, since you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become
new.
Yes, new. Now, he says the word creature there. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word creature, like, I don't think of anything good. I think of some sort of, like, scary monster, something or other, you know, some weird clown that's down in the sewer system offering you balloons or whatever, like, that's what I think of when I think of creatures. So I want you to know the word is creation. He's creating something totally brand new. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend looking into your word. And so thankful for those who have joined us today in our 11 o'clock service, both in presence and online. And I pray that you would bless us this morning. And God, we've come together this morning at this hour so that you could speak to each one of our hearts, whether we're physically seated in the room or whether we're watching online somewhere around this world. We want you to speak to us. And God, I'm asking you to do what I cannot do. Lord, I can barely speak to the ear. You are the one that speaks to our hearts. And so, Lord, if there's somebody here without Jesus as their Savior, somebody watching online, they've never trusted Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would help them to see that they have broken your rules. And that because we've broken your rules, God, we deserve an eternity in the lake of fire. But I pray in their heart and in their spirit they would know, God, that you love them. That that's not what you want for them. That's why Jesus came and he bled and he died and he gave his life to pay the price for our wrongdoing. And he rose again, victorious over sin and death, and offers us everlasting life. And I pray that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus today and be made totally brand new. And God, for Christians here, I pray that you'd help us over the next few weeks to evaluate where we are spiritually. Lord, help us to put off those old things that need to be done away with. And God, help us to put in their place the new things that you want us to have in our lives that we might represent you well and be equipped to serve you in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So he says, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that got me thinking. I want to know what's something that you prefer to be old. If you're watching online, put it in the comments. Tell me what's one thing you prefer. You say, I want this to be old. Anybody have anything they want to share with us? Yes. All right, old music, right? Because some of this new music is like not really music. You wonder what the world is going on here. Plus, it brings back that nostalgia, right, of our childhood and growing up. And scientifically, the music that we listen to when we grow up kind of is ingrained in us. So music, okay, somebody else. What's something old that you prefer? An old doctor, right? Because we don't want to go, we don't want the Doogie Howser kid that looks like he just graduated yesterday and doesn't really have any experience, doesn't know what he's doing. We don't want him operating on us, checking us, like it's uncomfortable. We want somebody that looks like they've done this before, right? Yes.
Movies,
right? So the old movies. Hopefully your old movies don't get canceled. A lot of craziness, and we'll kind of skip that topic for now because I don't need all that drama in my life. Please don't send me emails and whatever else. Like, some old movies, right? And for similar reasons, I think, to music a lot of times, because it brings back a lot of good feelings, a lot of good memories. Somebody else, what do you like old? Anybody have anything else? Yes. Books, right? Old books. Yeah, get some of those old classics that we like. Yes. Oh, wow. So old cars. And for those watching online that couldn't hear, she had an old 1930 Model A that she would drive around Belle Plaine. So sometimes those old cars, and some of you that know how to work on them and everything else and remodel them. In the first service, I asked this question about old, and you know what? My wife said, old husband. I was like, man, I'm not even 40 yet. Like, I'm getting close. And then when we were talking in between services, Cody was like, hey, my old wife. Sarah's 35th birthday today. Let's give her a round of applause. And Sarah, I'll tell you what I tell my wife after she turned 35. You are a handsome woman. It's great. Handsome middle-aged woman. So welcome to middle age. You're going to love it. So, but he said that. I did not. So I just want you to know I didn't say that. So some things we prefer to be old. All right, let's kind of flip that coin. So what are some things that we prefer to be new? Like, if this is in my life, I want it to be new. What do we want to be new? Anybody have any things that you say, I want this to be new? Yes. What's that? New life. Okay, so new life. Good.
New dresses.
New clothes. All right, new clothes. Yeah, how good does it feel to put on what do the kids say, the new threads or whatever? Like, I'm too old to know what they say, but going out shopping and get the new stuff, right? Yeah.
Food.
He wants his food new. Like, I kind of agree with that. I don't want to eat old food. Like, wow, what happened there? Like, I'm still young. I'm still going through puberty. Do you hear my voice right there? I'm like, food.
New food.
Yeah, get that deep voice going. All right, so we want the food. Anybody else have anything? What do you like new? Anybody else have anything new? Yes, Cameron. All right, so some new drinks, yes? New fishing gear, yes. New strings on a guitar. Yes, we're still waiting to get you up here and play the songs. I mean, you brought up guitar. I didn't, so still waiting. But some things we want new, some things we want old. And just because something's old doesn't necessarily mean it's good or bad. And just because something's new doesn't mean it's necessarily good or bad. Circumstances and all that can kind of help us with that. Spiritually speaking, though, he says the old is bad. You need to put on the new. And one of the things that Jesus talks about here, new creation, is not the idea that he takes the old and just kind of tinkers with it and adds some features here and there. It's the idea of completely something brand new. In John chapter number 3, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus. And remember what he told him? He said, hey, you have to be born again. And he's talking about that new life, as Francis mentioned. That new life, that's what he's talking about. Becoming a new creation, being born spiritually, being born again. And so, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, we have that new life, and that old life, the power is broken over us. So the old no longer has power over me. It no longer has power over you. The only power that your old life has over you is the power that you give to it. And unfortunately, if you're like me, you give it way too much power way too often. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, turn over there with me if you will. Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to spend the next few weeks going down through Ephesians chapter number 4 and seeing the old that needs to go and the new that we need to put in its place. And he says in verse 22 that ye put off concerning the former conversation the
old man.
Yes, all right, let's try that again. Some of you were ready, some of you were not. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the
old man.
Yes, so the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the with the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're to put off the old and put on the new. Now, one of the things that I want you to notice in verse number 22 is it tells us that the old is controlled by lust, by desires. So whatever that physical desire is, then I give into it. That's the old. And then he says the new is characterized by righteousness and true holiness. So he's given us a way that you and I can figure out if our thoughts, if our actions, if our motives are new and right or old and wrong. And that is it for my own lust to fulfill some sort of desire, or is it because it's something righteous and holy? And so he wants us to have that understanding. Put off the old, put on the new. And this is where we get to verse number 25, which is the thing we're going to focus in on today. So we're going to say, out with lying, in with honesty. Verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, when you look at this, I want to ask you a question. You can go ahead and raise your hand if this is true of you. How many of you like being lied to? You say, man, I just love it when people lie to me. It's one of the best things ever. No hands raised. Not even kids who didn't understand what I'm saying. Okay? None of us like to be lied to. We don't like to be lied to. Now, why don't you like somebody to lie to you? What's a reason that you would say, I don't like to be lied to because of what?
Disrespectful.
All right, disrespectful, yes.
Being deceived.
Being deceived. Okay, any other reasons why you don't like to be lied to? Yes, Amanda. Breaks trust, which means we can't really... It creates a distance in relationship. Because if I can't trust you, then I can't be open. I can't be vulnerable. There's a lot of different reasons why being lied to is something we just can't stand. It shows me, when you lie to me, it shows me that I don't really have any value to you. And the same is true of each and every one of us. We don't like to be lied to. And as God is giving his list of commands, 10 commands in Exodus chapter number 20, he tells them that they are not supposed to lie. Look at verse number 16. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So that's just a lot of words to say, don't lie. Don't lie. And notice he says, against your neighbor. And if you remember, Jesus already defined for us who our neighbor is. Because remember, he had the religious leaders that were always trying to trap him, trip him up, and trick him and all this. They wanted to catch him in his words. So they asked the question, hey, Jesus, who is your neighbor? And then he gave them the story of the Good Samaritan. And the moral of the story is, anybody that you and I come into contact with is our neighbor. So it's not just somebody who lives directly next door to us. It's any person you come in contact with. So as you're going out and about your day, whether it's at work, shopping, whatever, if you come into contact with somebody, that is your neighbor. And we have something that the Apostle Paul and Jesus didn't have. We have digital neighbors. Like, we come into contact with people from all over the world every single day. And every single one of those people that I come in contact with, they are my neighbor as well. And he says, hey, don't lie to your neighbor. Like, don't lie to people. And it's not just about telling bold-faced lies, because for the most part, we don't do that, right? I mean, we're good Christians, so we wouldn't necessarily just outright lie to somebody, but we might withhold information. We might tell a partial truth. We might put on a mask or a front so that people don't really see what's going on in our lives. I know that every single person here, maybe not every single person, almost everybody here, if not everybody here, has lied this week. Some of you lied on the way in today because somebody said, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm doing good. I'm doing good." When for some of us, that's a lie. We're not doing good. Like, we're hurting. We're struggling. We're lonely. We're afraid. And we have all these different things going on, but we don't want to have a real conversation with people, so we just kind of put on this mask and this front and say, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm great. He says, man, don't lie to your neighbor. And in Exodus 20, we have the command, but it's not really until Proverbs chapter number 6 that we really see how God actually feels about lying. In Proverbs chapter number 6, if you remember, God gives this list of things that he hates. And in verse number 16, he puts it this way: "These 6 things does the Lord hate, yea, 7 are abomination unto him." And then he says in verse 17 there, what's the very first thing? Okay. Second thing. A lying tongue, he says. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Then he says, a false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. So 2 out of the 7 are lying. 2 out of the 7 things that God absolutely hates are about lying. I would say he's definitely putting an emphasis here to let us know exactly how he feels. You say, well, Thomas, like that's the Old Testament. Like that's the Hebrew Bible. I mean, aren't we we're in this period of grace, so things have kind of changed, haven't they? All right, let's go to Acts chapter number 5. Let's turn into the New Testament here, and let's see. Because one of the things we need to understand is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, God doesn't change. Society changes, culture changes, all these things change. God does not change. So his feelings about lying have not changed at all since Proverbs chapter number 6. So we're in Acts chapter number 5. And for those that may not be as familiar, this is where the church is just getting started. In our Welcome Back series, we talked about the early church and some of those things that were taking place. They were a persecuted people. Can I just say that every day you wake up, one of the first things you ought to do is thank God you woke up in this country. This is not a perfect country. A lot of things wrong, a lot of things that need to be fixed, a lot of injustices, I get that. But most of the world, for most of time, have had to make a choice. They've had to decide either I'm going to follow Jesus and be willing to give my life, or I'm going to deny him so that I can be safe. I have never had to make that choice one time. Never. It's because I live here. It's because you live here. So it's a great thing. But during this time period, it could cost you your family to say, I'm a follower of Jesus. It could cost you your job. It could cost you your very life. So there were a lot of people that were hurting. So one of the things that they were doing is, if you remember, they were selling off their possessions, selling off their property, and using that money to provide for the needs that people had. And this is where we pick up in Acts chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So What's happening here is they have a possession, it tells us, and they sell it, which there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with taking what belonged to them and selling it. And then what they did is, instead of giving the whole amount, they gave a part of it. Now that in and of itself, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with taking part of the profit and giving it to meet people's needs. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem was they were being deceptive. See, this is where the problem was. They were trying to pretend like these others that they were giving everything when in reality they were only giving a certain part. There was nothing wrong with Ananias and Sapphira sitting down and saying, you know what, man, we have these certain needs and this is a lot of money. What if we only give a certain percentage and then we keep some to meet our own needs? Nothing wrong with that at all in and of itself. The problem was they wanted to wear a mask and they wanted to pretend and they wanted to deceive that they were something that they were not. And so it tells us in verse 3 that Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And you notice what he says, Satan filled your heart to lie. In John chapter number 8, verse number 44, Jesus tells us that Satan is the father of lies. He's the father of lies. And so Satan impresses upon their heart. Once again, it goes back to that lust, right? That greed, that desire to have. Well, what if we kept back part of the money? And what if we want the honor, we want the prestige that comes with the recognition of sacrificing everything, and so we'll pretend like we're giving everything? That's what they devised in their hearts. Now, later on, we're going to see in verse number 4, that this is something he said you conceived under your own heart. Have you heard the phrase, the devil made me do it? Anybody, ever hear that phrase? Have any of you ever said that? Like, have you ever used that? All right, so we have a few honest people in here. Awesome. In 9 o'clock, bunch of liars in there. Not one person said they'd ever use the phrase. They wouldn't admit it. So some of you admit it, right? I've used the phrase, the devil made me do it. But the thing is, if we know Jesus as our Savior, the devil can't make you do anything. The devil can't make me do anything. He has lost all power over us. The only power he has is the power that I surrender to him willingly. And as I mentioned a moment ago, too often I do surrender that power to him. So the devil couldn't make him do anything. This was something that he chose to do, something that he and his wife together had chosen to do. And he says in verse 4 here of Acts chapter 5, whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? See, this is where we know it wasn't wrong to only give part of what they profited. He basically says, listen, this was your possession, and you could have given all of it. You could have held back part and only give part of it. Nothing wrong with that. Now think about our own giving. We shouldn't give because somebody twists our arm, because somebody threatens us. God's going to curse you if you don't give money. No, that's not it. God says he wants a cheerful giver. He wants us to give as he lays it on our heart to give. And Peter says, listen, if you didn't want to give, that's fine, then don't give. But don't try to pretend that you're doing more than you are. Don't try to put on some sort of front to say, this is who I am, when in reality, that's not who you are. So he says, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. So he died. And I want you to see, God's feelings about lying haven't changed in the Christian Bible versus the Hebrew Bible. Okay, not changed. God still hates lying. And yes, God did really kill a man for breaking his commandments. And although God doesn't kill everybody who lies. Now, who's glad about that, by the way? Who's glad God doesn't kill everybody who lies? That's good. How many of you would be dead right now if God killed everybody who lies? See those hands? I would be the only one left alive in this room. Be just me talking to the ceiling. And I'm like trying to dodge lightning right now or something, because I'll be dead right now. That's a lie, because I've lied. We've all lied. So God doesn't always kill people who lie, but that doesn't mean his feelings about it have changed. That doesn't mean he hates it any less. He still hates it. And he hates it because it goes against his very character. It goes against who he is. I mean, in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, he is the God who cannot lie. He's the God who's always honest, who always is open, who is always vulnerable. When you and I lie, we're not like God. We're like Satan. Satan, the father of lies. So every time I'm dishonest with you, when you come up and say, "Hey, Thomas, how are you doing today?" If I'm not great and I say great, I'm being like the devil. I've lied. And I've held you at a distance. Every time we hold people at a distance, we're not vulnerable. We're deceiving, we're lying, and we're being just like the devil, destroying relationships. So look what happens. Dies. Verse 6 says, "And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him." And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. So 3 hours she hasn't heard from her husband. I don't know if he was late to supper. I don't know what's going on. She comes to find him. She walks in not knowing what has taken place already. Verse 8, "Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much." He says, "Hey, Sapphira, did you sell the land for this amount of money?" "Yes, that's the amount of money." And this is the moment where I suspected that Sapphira didn't have kids of her own and was not responsible for children in any way, shape, or form for any amount of time. Because the radar should have went off right here. I just want to say for our kids who are here, like, if your parents ask you a question that seems so random, listen, your mama knows what you did. She knows. Your dad knows what you did. They're not asking the question just because. Okay, they got a reason for asking the question. So if your parents ask you a question that seems so random, I would highly encourage you to tell the truth, because they already know what the truth is. I think about my own mom. And it wasn't until I was a parent that I understood that about asking the questions, by the way. So my mom would be like, "Hey, Thomas. Yeah, Mom. Do you know what happened to my chocolates?" Like, that's a weird question. I'm like, "No, I don't know anything about it. I don't know what you're talking about. What chocolates?" When they start asking, like, "What chocolates?" Like, you're guilty. "What chocolates?" He's like, "Your brother already told me that you ate them all. So come over here so I can whip your rear end and then eat soap for lying to me about it." Like, thanks a lot, Chris, for snitching on me. You know what happens to snitches, don't you? They get stitches. They do. Yeah, they do. So my mom already knew. Like, she knew. Peter already knew. He knew the answer to the question, and Sapphira just walks in and is like, "No red alert, no, like, this is weird. Yeah, that's how much we sold it for." She lies. And verse number 9, "Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Well, she lied. And it wasn't like her husband just came up with this plan and she didn't know. It tells us she was privy to it. So she went along with it. She lied as well. And when she lied, broke God's rules, there's judgment. She dies. And they take her out and bury her as well. Notice verse 11. Verse 11 is one of those verses in the Bible that is like a major understatement. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You think? Like, we just saw two people die because they told a lie. Now, how many of you would be a little more truthful if you saw two people die because they lied? Me too. Guess what? You just saw two people die because they lied. I just saw it right here. And yet somehow we think that God's feelings about lying has changed. Listen, he says, no, that's the old man. That's how you used to be. That needs to go away. That needs to be done with it. That's not who you are anymore. That's not part of the new creation that God has created you to be. We need to be out with lying and in with honesty. And that means being vulnerable with people. And that means sometimes being embarrassed. And that means sometimes having some hard conversations. But that's exactly what God wants from us. We are to be in the business of building relationships, not destroying them. And every time we lie to somebody, every time we put on a front, every time we close ourselves off instead of being vulnerable, we destroy relationships. And it's got to go. It destroys our relationship with God. It destroys our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It destroys our relationships with the ones we're trying to reach for Jesus. And he says, listen, that lying has to go. It's got to stop. It's time for you and I to be open and be honest. Think of 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's time for you and I to put off that old way of lying, deception, and bring in honesty this week with one another.